It's time for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, a show to educate you on the best seed selections and soil preparations for residential and commercial turf, range of grass, cover crops, and more. And now, Lauren Adams of Arkansas Valley Seeds alongside Pat McGee, Growing Together on AM 1400 KBLJ. And it's Ann sitting in the seat again for Pat, and Lauren's here. We've got Eric here. Let's see, we've got Steve on the phone. Steve, can you hear us on the phone? Steve, can
Absolutely.
You hear? Oh, you can hear us on the phone. It's just fabulous when I push all these buttons and magical things happen here on Growing Together. Also, you're listening to Growing Together on News Radio 920 KLMR and Lamar. So much exciting news to bring the world today about soil.
Right.
See, did you like that, Eric?
Yes, ma'am.
You're didn't call good. It dirt like I did last
right.
week.
Right.
I called it dirt, and he looked at me like I had just right. slapped his mother.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just joking off mic there, and we were just in Arizona for my son's wedding, and he introduced me to his new mother-in-law as his dad, the dirt nerd.
Dirt nerd.
Yeah, I was, you know, I thought it was kind of
nice.
Cool. I kind of like it. But yeah, so today we got a lot to talk about. First of all, my name is Lauren Adams. I'm with Arkansas Valley Seeds in Rocky Ford, Colorado. And we sell seeds. And right now, grain sorghums and that sort of thing are all the rage. And then we've also got millets and so forth. And some folks are thinking about cover crops. And we've got plenty of different seed varieties to put together for those. So come by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Talk to Tony Davis and myself about what we can do to help you with your seed needs. And you know, moving into that is, you know, late May and early June, boy, we had some really nice thunderstorms coming through here in eastern Colorado and the Arkansas Valley, and we got a record amount of water, as I understand it, from I call it sky water, you know. And you and I had talked a little bit, Eric, about that rainfall that we got, and it's really been helping a lot of people to get ahead where maybe they've been struggling in the past. And when it comes to soil health and that rainfall, you said something very key. You said it's not about the amount of rain that falls on your soil. It's about the amount of water that you can keep in that soil. And water retention is a huge part of soil health. And last week we were talking to Derek White, and he was giving an example of how he had been implementing some of these five principles of soil health by getting a cover crop in with his corn. As his corn was getting started, he put in the rows between some cover crop seeds, and then as that was growing up and he harvested his corn, he was able to keep that living root in the soil and then keep that live plant going. And then it didn't take long, and then he gave an example of one year where he had had not as much annual rainfall. He was able to get things started, and so were the neighbor farmers and so forth, and they had some ditch water coming, but it was a little ways out. And so because of the practices that he was able to put in there, and he's able to retain that moisture in the soil, he was able to make it till that ditch water got there, whereas some of his neighbors weren't quite as fortunate because of the practices that he put in place. So today on the program, we got a very special guest, is Steve Cadis. Steve comes to us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's the New Mexico State Resource Conservationist. It's quite a job title, and he oversees the technical processes of soil health in his state. And Steve, you and I have had a few very interesting conversations, haven't we?
Yes, we certainly have, Warren.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on the show because you have a very unique perspective about several topics concerning soil health, and one of which we talked a little bit about, which is water retention in soil. And we want to talk a little bit about that, hit on that. But before we get to that, would you please introduce our listeners to yourself and what it is that you do, and maybe just a little bit about your background.
You bet. Thank you, Lauren. Yeah, again, my name is Steve Cadis, and I work for the USDA NRCS in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I am the state specialist for our technical assistance, anything that has to do with agriculture, whether it's cropland, rangeland, forest land, and those types of things are, we call them ecological sciences. So I oversee our technical standards and our technical delivery of those things for our field offices. And basically, this is all for farmers. This is all for technical assistance for farmers. We assist our field offices, who you have an office right there in La Junta, and we give technical assistance to them so they can better give assistance to their farmers.
Right. And they're terrific people, and we speak to them often, and they really know their stuff just as well. And so, Steve, we wanted to talk a little bit about, I think water retention is one of the bigger issues of why we would implement these five principles of soil health. And I made just a little bit of a list as we came in, just to go over with our listeners, what are the five principles of soil health? And I'm just going to run through it really quickly for our listeners. Number one is soil armor. And Eric, do you want to talk a little bit about what soil armor is?
Well, that's keeping it covered. It's leaving residue or some grass, keeping the shade and holding moisture versus keeping it bare ground.
So, for instance, if you have grass or anything like that, you want to have something that's laying down on that soil, then do that. That could be anything, right? From sunflowers to winter grain to just about anything, right?
Yeah. Residue, glitter, something.
But that's kind of decomposing. Doesn't even have to be that, right? Just so that it's laying down and it's putting that area of armor on the soil. And then the other one is number two of the five principles of soil health is to minimize soil disturbance. Now, Mr. Cadis, would you touch on that and what that means?
Sure. Minimizing soil disturbance is extremely important because what that does is that helps protect the soil ecosystem so that we can have, we can gain the benefits that the soil naturally gives to us. Basically, that means, you know, for farmers, it means to work on a system that reduces tillage on our soils, not to over-till our soils. For ranching, it may be to avoid overgrazing areas where we overgraze in areas and compact the soil. And what it does is it damages the soil. When we damage the soil or disturb it, it takes away that soil's inherent ability to store moisture and to cycle things like nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the thing is, tillage always creates bare ground. And bare ground is a mortal enemy.
That makes perfect sense. And number three of the five principles is something I'll talk about, and that is plant diversity. And, you know, when we do cover crops or we do blends for NRCS for recovery projects and so forth that are funded through them, and then folks at the NRCS will come to us with a recipe, and there's a lot of diversity in those plant mixes. And the reason for that is diversity is the spice of life. Variety is the spice of life is the term, whether you're talking about your culinary delights or what you like to do for your free activities, but it's also the spice of life when it comes to the plant diversity that's in there, because the diverse things, the one things will complement the other, and they there's a symbiotic relationship that can be in play when it comes to a good soil mix. And you know, Steve, I'm sure that's something you deal with quite a bit in your position, isn't it? Those diverse soil mixes?
Absolutely. So biodiversity has to do with not only the plants that are growing above the ground, but the roots that are below the ground. And so when we talk about biodiversity, we're talking about things like crop rotations. You know, we're all familiar with the different crop rotations that we have in our systems. That's an important part of biodiversity. Incorporating cover crops, like you were saying, Lauren, is also another way of including biodiversity. Also, biodiversity comes about from grazing animals out there. But when you have different kinds of plants and different kinds of roots, they all add, and they, like you said, do that symbiotic relationship where they're all adding something to the soil. And when you have diversity, you have an increased rate of soil health growing in your soil.
Sure. Now then, number four of the five principles is a continual live plant or a root. You want to keep something living in that soil all the time. And you touched on this just a minute ago, Eric. Let's go a little bit further into what do you mean by having that continual living plant in there? I mean, other than the blatantly obvious.
Well, living roots fix soil. They also substantiate and support the microbiome under the soil, the microbiology. That's what creates life down there, and the longer it can live. Mm-hmm. And the really nice thing about Derek's, what he was talking about, where he interseeded the cover crops. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the typical cornfield, that's all bare ground, except for where the corn's growing.
Right.
So that's losing soil moisture, and mm-hmm. with the cover crop, that's helping to retain moisture. It's also helping to promote life underground, which right. fixes soil.
That's very, very true. And then number five of the five principles of soil health is livestock integration. And that's something you know a little bit about, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah, that's kind of my deal.
That's right. So talk a little bit about why maybe different forms of livestock can be in there, and does it have to be cows?
No, it can be virtually any kind of livestock a person would want to run on their property. Goat, sheep, hogs, cattle, horses. Customer cattle, your own cattle, whatever. Just have to understand mm-hmm. why you have the livestock there and how long they're going to be there right. and come up with a plan and some goals and some reasonable ideas.
All right. Well, that kind of covers the five principles of soil health as we're starting this conversation off. Again, we've got Steve Cadis out in New Mexico, Eric Tucker, a good friend of mine, and then I'm Lauren Adams with Arkansas Valley Seeds. And do you have anything to add to the conversation just yet?
Just listening and learning.
Just listening and learning.
You know,
all right, well, the next kind of phase is we talk about livestock integration, and then we talk a lot about rotational grazing, mm-hmm. right? Now, Steve, can you talk a little bit about, just really quickly, we've got a break coming up, but talk a little bit about rotational grazing and why that is so important in the application of these soil health
principles. Okay. The importance of rotational grazing is that you go out and you graze a plant and you move on or you rotate before you remove a substantial amount of the plant. And within RCS, we basically use take 50% of the plant and leave 50% of the plant. And what that does is it helps the plant maintain its productivity without losing productivity. And so when we graze properly, we want to do it that way so that we never have a slowdown in grass production mm-hmm. out there, whether it's a cover crop or whether it's a range plant. We want to graze that properly. It allows the plant to recover and rebound quickly so that we can go out there and maybe even go out there and graze again. This is one way. This is an important way that we can improve the health of our rangeland, but also improve the production of the rangeland.
All right. Well, that's very good. Now, right now, we got to run into our first break.
You're listening to Growing Together on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio 920 in Lamar.
Jennings with Golden Plains Insurance. Here at Golden Plains Insurance, we are committed to providing everyone with the best service and insurance coverage from auto to ag and everything in between. Protect your investments, whether it's home, automobiles, farm, ranch, or crops. We understand the special needs of southeastern Colorado and the work it takes to protect your interests. With locations in Walsh, Springfield, Lamar, and Rocky Ford, Golden Plains Insurance. Independent and homegrown, just like you.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Make getting a great night's sleep your New Year's resolution with Mattress Firm's year-end sale. Hurry in for savings of up to $300 on our top-rated brands like Sealy. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $699 on Sealy. Or save 50% on select mattresses from Sealy and get a queen mattress for just $299.99. Don't wait. Shop in-store, online, or by phone with a sleep expert for these amazing deals. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Colorado's historic and nation-leading agriculture industry is under threat, whether it be from ballot measures like Proposition 16, which threatens all we hold dear in the livestock industry, or legislation from the state capitol, or even executive orders from Governor Polis. You can stay up to date with the latest information on all that, plus their exclusive interviews, and find out the latest on the agriculture markets by listening to The Barn, Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio, right here on La Junta's hometown radio station, News Talk Radio 1400 KBLJ.
Lauren Adams, this is Eric Tucker, and on the phone we have Mr. Steve Cadas from the NRCS out in Albuquerque. And just to kind of enter back into the conversation, we're talking about the five principles of soil health and how we can apply those. Why do we want to do it? Do the dollars make sense? And I think the answer is a resounding yes. The dollars do make sense to implement some of these practices. You know, you don't need to jump in double barrel with both feet and get in it. You could just do something. Now, last week I talked a little bit about that soil out in the field is the factory that produces the product that we sell, whether that product is the chickens or cows that we graze, or if it's the hay that we produce, or it's the produce that we put out at the produce stand. That soil is a factory that produces that. And so I think it's important that we understand what that factory is doing and how it works. It's not just like you inherited a car and you know how the key goes in the ignition. You need to understand why the wheels turn.
Right.
And it's the same way with soil health. There's a little more to it than just, you know, the old Mayor Bloomberg logic of put a seed in the dirt and cover it up, and now you're a farmer. There's a lot more to that soil health, and there's a lot more to it.
Well,
and we have experts like Steve and enthusiasts like yourself,
yeah.
Eric.
Well, what I'd like to say is the five principles aren't necessarily complicated,
right?
But they're quite a bit complex.
Oh,
but
right.
They can deepen in complexity depending on where you are and where you want to go.
I am so glad you said that. I was just reading today about mycorrhizal fungi.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty fun guy myself.
Well, but not as good as Michael.
That's right. But the mycorrhizal fungi, you know, that's just one component of what goes on under the surface of the soil. One small piece. And it is so complicated. And Steve, you and I were talking earlier this morning, and I thought, gee, you know, I think you could probably take a few semesters of university courses just to study mycorrhizal fungi. But you're right, Eric, that these five principles are pretty basic, pretty simple. But when you dig into any one of these, there's a tremendous amount of knowledge to be gained and applied. But you're not going to do it all at once.
Well,
you need to apply it slowly over time.
You can spend the rest of your life learning that. That's
Amen.
Why I like to be an enthusiast.
Yeah, right.
Because I can keep on going.
Yeah, exactly. Steve, what do you think about that?
Well, you know what? Mycorrhizal fungi is extremely important. You know, typically in the past, we always thought, well, fungus has got to be a bad thing because it's
right.
going to attack my plants. Well, this type of a fungus that we're talking about, when it grows into the soil, it actually forms a close relationship with the plants, and it ends up feeding the plants. It ends up putting in organic matter into the soil, and what we have is a much stronger plant. Mycorrhizal fungi actually increase the root zone of a crop plant like corn by 10 times, and
10
it actually
times.
Transports water from soil towards and to the corn plant. It's actually a water highway bringing water to our crop. So there's many good things about mycorrhizal fungi, but in a dry place that we live in Colorado, New Mexico, that is a really important benefit.
Yeah, sure. So it just is a one example of the many smaller aspects of these five principles that you can dig into. But just basically, if you just take these five principles and apply them at their most basic level, you're moving in a direction, even whether you have direct knowledge that by me applying this nutrient or this compost, I'm now nurturing mycorrhizal fungi to increase my carbon sequestration and the nutrient uptake to my plants. I don't think that that's knowledge that you particularly need to have on the front of your mind, but if you just know that you're keeping the armor on the soil and you're doing the plant diversity and you're continually keeping a living plant in the soil, these things also happen, whether you're knowledgeable of that process or not.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Lauren, can I say a couple of words?
Please do.
Okay, so, you know, when we talk about the soil health, we talk about the soil as a factory. One of the most important things to remember is that any kind of factory needs an input of energy. And when we talk about maximizing a living root in the soil, that's exactly what we're talking about. There's many things that happen, but one of the most important things is that living root, whether it's corn or wheat that we're planting or a cover crop or range plants, that root is putting carbohydrates or energy directly into the soil. Mm-hmm. In fact, one interesting thing that just blows my mind is that a plant like corn or grass or sorghum and many plants can put as much as 50% of the carbohydrates that they're making through photosynthesis directly into the soil. And those carbohydrates feed those microorganisms. They feed that mycorrhizal fungi, which in turn make benefits such as nutrients and water and give it to our crop plants. So when we focus on and have a living root as much as we can throughout the year, then we are keeping that soil healthy, we're keeping it productive, and we're keeping that factory that Lauren was talking about at its highest productive level.
Yeah, that's one of the very neatest things I've come across, and the five principles all work together. Independently, they're phenomenal, but put together, they're quite amazing. And it's unfortunate.
Wow, what a good point.
Mycorrhizal fungi is almost always destroyed with any tillage at all, and then bare soil kills it. So all these points come together very nicely.
Yeah, and pH regulation and the we know that as agriculture people, me is just as a hobby gardener. I understand that pH has a lot to do with the ability of the plants to be able to uptake the nutrients that are there. You can apply, a great amount of phosphorus, but if the pH of the soil isn't right and you don't have that symbiotic relationship that is necessary with that mycorrhizal fungi to regulate that at that level, it might not be able to take, the plant won't be able to take up the phosphorus that it really needs, even though you're pouring it on.
Right.
Yeah, so we talk very little about pH lately, but let's get into that a little bit. How is pH regulated through these five principles, and what do we see there? I see a pretty neutral pH in my garden, but is that a result because I'm applying these principles, or?
You know what, pH is a funny thing because it determines the type of crops that we can plant, because some are sensitive to high levels of pH, some are sensitive to low levels of pH. But one of the great things about soil health is when you have a functioning soil health system or you're working on building it up, what it does is it moderates the bad parts of pH. It helps buffer that high pH. So the more organic matter that you have in the soil, you are actually buffering that effect of high pH mm-hmm. in your soil. So there is a great benefit for pH when we look at keeping a good, healthy soil.
Right.
Yeah, and the ruminant animal functions on a neutral pH that you can actually test your plants and test the pH in your cows to find out how good of a grazer you are on a short-term basis. So there's the complexity of it. It gets bigger and bigger, and all kinds of ideas to work with going forward.
I have another question for you, Steve. Now, I'm sure you read a lot of scientific studies and so forth, and I really haven't too much yet. I mean, I read more and more all the time. But I'm curious to know, what about the nutritional value of the plant products that are produced in a healthy soil as opposed to the same product that is produced through, you know, for lack of a better term, traditional farming techniques?
Okay, I think that was for me, Lauren.
Yeah, sure.
So what happens when you have a healthy soil? It becomes, you know, more organic. And what that does is a lot of the fertilizers and the nutrients that we have are combined with organic compounds. And that actually makes it easier for the plant to uptake nutrients into them. So they actually they don't have to work as hard to take up those nutrients, so they can bring in nutrients easier into the plant, and it becomes incorporated into the plant. So we can have a much healthier plant because of the higher level of soil health. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but many cover crops and mycorrhizal fungi dissolve and make nutrients available that otherwise wouldn't be available to the plant. So it's actually making a much more nutrient available soil out there. And so soil health is critical to nutrient cycling. And there's also organisms, and we've heard about this. We know legumes make nitrogen.
Right.
And if you plant the right cover crop, you can get a lot more nitrogen in your soil and reduce the amount of nitrogen that you have to put onto the soil.
Right.
In addition, there's microorganisms that don't even need legumes. They can live freely in the soil and make sequester nitrogen and fix nitrogen into the soil. But they can only do that when they have that healthy soil.
Amen. So the end product then would be, if I'm growing a field of hay varieties out there, and that hay is harvested or grazed, does that have a higher nutritional value, say pound for pound, for the animal that's grazing that? That's my question.
Well, that's nutrient density.
That's pretty obvious, isn't
it? Yeah, the better the soil, the better the plant products, and then a grazer would have higher quality pasture to work with.
The healthier the soil, the healthier the grass, the healthier the animal that eats the grass, and then the healthier the people that are consuming those animal products.
Yes.
Would you say that it just all cascades from there?
Yeah, that's the basic assumption. You know, it's been proven. The nutrient density is what creates better health and stop some illness, and that's kind of what our current system is not focused on. So reverting back to a more nutrient-dense soil and more nutrient-dense food seems to make a lot more sense, and it's quite a bit easier than we've always anticipated.
I'm sure you've done research to learn, has it been quantified in any way about the, beef or lamb, or that is it more nutrient dense from eating more nutrient dense food, i.e. from more nutrient dense soil?
Well, it is. I haven't really done a lot of focus and research there, but I've tried to look at how my plants are changing. So I use a refractometer, and you take a little bit of plant sap and you put it in a little microscope type thing, and you look through it, and it'll tell you the bricks, and that's the sugar content. So the higher the sugar content, the higher the quality of the forage. So, it works out better, and that's a real simple test.
Yeah, refractometer. All right, that's great. Well, this is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seed. Thank you, Ann, for driving the car.
So far, so good, right?
You're doing great.
You're listening to Growing Together on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio 920 KLMR in Lamar.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress.
A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty.
Something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Your home is filled with so many special memories, but these days it may be hard to make rent and mortgage payments. There is a free service that can help. ColoradoHousingConnects.org is where you can find free legal help and counseling to help you get through these challenging times. The counselors at Colorado Housing Connects, many of whom are in your community, can help with financial resources, grants, and legal assistance, even if you are facing foreclosure or eviction. Don't wait any longer. Call 844-926-6632 or visit ColoradoHousingConnects.org today for more information. Housing counselors, navigators, and attorneys are standing by to help you keep your home. Call 844-926-6632 or visit ColoradoHousingConnects.org. They can help. Sponsored by Colorado Housing Connects, the Colorado Broadcasters Association, and this station.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Colorado Army National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Let's talk about America. Not taxes or tweets or the issues that divide us, but how incredible our country is. Left, right, up, down, state lines to winding coastlines. Whether you come home to a crowded city street, tree-lined suburb, or sleepy small town, everyone deserves to live in a clean, green, and thriving community. And we all share in the responsibility to create beauty that ripples from one neighborhood to another and one block to the next. We are Keep America Beautiful, the nonprofit working with millions of people just like you to end littering, improve recycling, and beautify our communities. Because every mindful action and sustainable habit has a positive impact, and it all adds up. Learn how you can join Keep America Beautiful at KAB.org. Together, we can do beautiful things.
We're back on Growing Together on Newstalk AM 1400. KB, LJ, and Boswell sitting in the seat for Pat McGee, pushing the buttons for Lauren Adams, who has a guest on the phone, has a guest in studio. Let's just get back to it. We were talking soils.
That's right. Well, again, Steve, I really want to tell you, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be out here. And like I said, we've had some terrific conversations as it relates to soil health and ag in general. And wanted to point out, too, you know, we've got some great NRCS people here locally. Lana Pearson has been on our program talking about the EQIP program, and she's been a valuable resource to us at Arkansas Valley Seeds to bounce ideas off of and to talk about different seed mixes and things that the folks in her office have just been tremendous. And so certainly want to acknowledge that we've got local folks that are doing a great job too.
Yeah.
And Eric has had a few conversations this morning with those folks, right?
Oh, yeah. They're pretty excited what we're doing. It's it's a good thing for them and it's a good thing for us. And right. They've got a host of tools and it's phenomenal what they have.
Right. And tremendous amount of resources and information.
Yeah, resources. Yeah. They're very willing to work with us. And anybody that wants to start on the soil health journey, as soon as you get the five principles memorized, start calling those people.
Exactly.
Wahana, Rocky Ford, and Pueblo, and talk to Anna, and you know, put it together, because they're really doing some good stuff.
They work with a lot of local people. And I know you have too, Steve. And Steve, if you have just a minute, I'd love for you to just, do you have a shining example of maybe an ag producer that you've been able to help with these five principles that have had some success? Is there somebody that stands out in your area?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In New Mexico, obviously, like in Colorado, we have both dry land and irrigated land.
Right.
I can think of an example over near Tucumcari, New Mexico, on a dry land farm where a producer started using cover crops, and they were able to plant some cover crops after they harvested wheat. And what they were able to do was they were able to increase their production after wheat harvest, and they had actually a crop to graze after that. So they were able to graze for about 2 months after that. It didn't take a lot of rain. They hit it just right. They got a rain. They got their cover crop up, and they had a very diverse cover crop mix out there. But what that did is it did several different things. One, it provided some grazing for them, which was an economic benefit. You don't have to feed. You can reduce your supplemental feeding with that. Yeah. But also, what it did is it suppressed the weeds that come up in the fall. So those nasty weeds that like to come up in the fall and sit there till the spring, it suppressed those weeds down. And so when spring came, they had less of a weed problem and had less herbicide application that they had to put on there. In addition to that, they were able to increase the water holding capacity of the soil.
And this was just in one season?
Excuse me?
Was this just in one season?
This was in one season.
Okay.
So
wow.
Soil health happens immediately. I mean, you'll start seeing changes. You won't see the best soil health you're ever going to get. That's going to take years. But you do see soil health happening immediately, and some things happen quicker than others. Water infiltration into the soil happens very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And suppressing weeds when you plant a good cover crop out there produces that competition out there, and you get immediate effect from that cover crop when you have a good cover from it.
Mm-hmm. So this family was able to reduce their supplemental feed cost, reduce the amount of weed suppression that they had to put out, they increased their water infiltration, and they improved the overall quality of their soil by putting in one season of a cover crop. They were already getting quantifiable results.
Right. And one of the main benefits is when they came back around and they were going to plant a millet in the next year, they had more water in that soil where they had their cover crop than their other field where they didn't use a cover crop. So they actually had more moisture in the ground at the time of planting. And we all know that that's going to be critical, especially on dry land.
You bet. And that, it doesn't get any, that's apples to apples. That's one field right next to the other, same ag operation. The field that they did a cover crop on, they were able to retain more moisture than the field right next door.
Yeah, that's win,
exactly.
Win, win.
And if somebody is thinking about trying a soil health system or cover crops, my advice to them, if you're new to this, start slow and start small.
Right.
And do your own demo in a field that you are working right now.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do a whole field. If you're going, you can drive a couple of strips to the field where you are planting maybe 5, maybe 10 acres in a cover crop, right in the middle of your operation. You maintain your operation, and then you're able to prove to yourself, demonstrate to yourself and your neighbors what's going to happen when you plant that. And you'll be surprised at the changes that you'll see in that soil and in the crops that you're growing out there.
I think Derek
White
was right on
that. Start slow and start small.
No, I totally agree. And I know that Derek that was on last week, that's exactly what he was saying. You know, start small, make sure it's going to work for you.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't want to, you know, just go scorched earth and say, I'm going to do everything this way. Because as we talk all the time over at Arkansas Valley Seeds, there's no two sections of dirt or pieces of dirt that are the same when it comes to the soil health. Because there's just no two farming operations are the same, just like two people are the same. So looks like we got to run into our last break here, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
All righty. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
We are well into spring now, and it's time to get those sorghums, millets, and native worm season grasses in. Tony and I are here to help, with the knowledge and experience to help you select the best products to reach your goals. We also have our signature line of Vitality turf grass seeds for your lawn, our rabbit ear wildflower mixes to attract pollinators, birds, or for just beautiful annual or perennial cut flowers. Whether it's for the farm, the ranch, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford, 719-254-7469.
Hey folks, it's Ann Boswell, and with an E. My parents were those weirdos that gave me that family name with that silent E. So anyway, that silent E means that when you email us here to let us know what's happening so that we can cover it in your area, you have to include the E, A-N-N-E, at 25-7media.com. So make sure you're sending it with the E. Thanks for trusting us for your news, your hometown station, News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ.
And we're back with Growing Together Arkansas Valley Seeds. Lauren Adams sitting in the hosting seat. We've got Steve on the phone. We have Eric sitting across from me, and we are wrapping it up.
All right. Well, I just want to introduce next week's guest, which is Rudy Garcia. Rudy Garcia has a website called rootsofregeneration.com, and this kind of whole thing started because Eric tried to introduce me to Rudy. And so we're going to be continuing Soil Health Month next week with Rudy Garcia.
All right. It does help if you turn your mic up. I'm Ann Boswell in for Pat McGee. Thanks for listening to Growing Together. Of course, it airs every week just after 11. You can listen online at LaHuntaRadio.com, or you can also listen over on our sister station, News Radio 920 KLMR, one of our many local programs here in the Arkansas Valley and in the La Junta area. Also want to remind you that Wednesdays is Arkansas Valley Trader, and on Fridays we have Local Legal Conversation, which is legal talk and more with legal issues and education from local attorneys, and just lots of current events, things that we hope that you learn a great deal from. I'm Ann Boswell. Thank you for listening to Growing Together. For Lauren Adams, for Eric Tucker, and Steve
Cadis.
I am so sorry, Steve. Thanks for listening to Growing Together on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio 920 KLMR in Lamar.